Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to gather once again. We thank you for your living word, and Lord, help us to receive this morning and to redeem the time in prayer as you give us some time for that. Guide us now by your Spirit, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd look at your notes, we have a short psalm, only 9 verses, and I wanted to sing before we get into it because it's kind of sad. But we can start out with what is really very exciting. This is a hymn that's older than the independence of our country. Charles Wesley wrote this in 1739, and it's old for 1,000 tongues to sing. Amen and amen. Well, let's turn to Psalm 137 this morning. And we're tucked between last week. Remember, we had 28 times we would repeat, "For your mercy endures forever." And we don't want to forget that, right? And next week, we'll have a psalm. We'll end again in, "O Lord, for your mercy endures forever." But today, we have a little short psalm just packed with emotion. There's a lot of different emotions going on in this psalm. And as we read it through, and then we'll look at it just a little bit, verse by verse. But longing for Zion in a foreign land, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. So we see these emotions here, and it is There's a lot of pain here, but it's particularly painful, I think, because they recognize it's because of what they did and didn't do that they're there in captivity. They're under the judgment of God. For 40 years, Jeremiah had cried out. For 40 years before that, Isaiah had cried out, turn, turn, turn. but they wouldn't turn. They had seen their sister 10 nations, 10 tribes, 140 years earlier because of their immorality and idolatry had been taken captive and were no more taken captive by Assyria. But now here they have suffered the same consequences, and God has raised up this wicked, wicked Babylon to correct them. We truly see, of course, the tale of two cities in the Bible, don't we? We see Babylon and we see Jerusalem. And in this little psalm, we have Babylon twice and we have Jerusalem three times. They are now in captivity. Some believe this is written after the fact. It may be. It doesn't matter when it was written. But it really touches on where they are in their longing to be in Zion. By the rivers of Babylon. Now we got two rivers there, two major rivers, the Tigris, Euphrates. The main one, Babylon, goes right through the center of Babylon itself. And they were probably between the two rivers. There are canals coming to connect those two. So anyway, they're out of the city, apparently, alongside of a canal or a river. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept. So they're crying. They're weeping. When we remembered Zion, I think we Christians will weep one day when we remember how good we had things and when they are no long way. But right now, we are probably have it the easiest of anybody in the world, by far. But here we wept when we remembered Zion, and we hung our harps. You know, they had such a desire, basically inbred in them, to praise the Lord and to play instruments. Of course, we see King David even designing harps and so forth, always singing, always praising. But now, it isn't right to play your harps for joy when you're in captivity. It doesn't feel right. So they hung them up on willows. I guess that's where we get the name Weeping Willows. I don't know. But they hung them on the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked us, and those who plundered requested mirth. So here are captives. They ravished us. They have taken us captive. They plundered us. They robbed us. Now they want joy from us. They want rejoicing. They want to hear us sing. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Cheer us up. The question answered is asked then, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? We don't want to praise the one true and living God in a land filled with idols. Now, of course, we know they wanted idols. They were into idolatry. So finally, God said, you want idolatry? I'll give you idolatry. And he sent them to the world center of idolatry, to Babylon. And there they were 70 years. Of course, they were paying the price there because they had not kept the Shabbat of years, the seventh year, for 490 years. And God was owed 70 years, so he put them into Babylon. How should we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now, we've got three ifs here. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. In other words, the hand playing the instrument would really not be able to even move. It'd be like it's frozen, arthritis or whatever. Let my right hand forget its skill. It says cunning in the old King James, but forget its ability to make music. Verse 6, if I do not remember you, Lord, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. That's a great picture, isn't it? If we can't praise the Lord, just let him stick the tongue to the roof of our mouth and shut up, right? If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now, that doesn't totally fit us because we haven't been in Jerusalem really our whole life and haven't been using that as the worship place. I mean, there are people today who are so desirous to be living in Jerusalem, that they think the people living in Tel Aviv, which is actually a larger city than Jerusalem, they're like blasphemous. They shouldn't be living anywhere but Jerusalem. But nevertheless, it says here, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. So it's I like it starts with J-E. Why don't you just put S-U-S on there and we'll just, if I do not remember you and exalt you, Jesus, above my chief joy. But at any rate, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. And now they're kind of their hostility and so forth kind of takes over them. Their flesh may be taking over here a little bit or a lot. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom. Now, these are our cousins. This is Esau's descendants. Always fighting against Jacob's descendants. And what did they do? When Babylon was in process of capturing and sieging Jerusalem, what did they say? Did they come along and help? No, they said, burn it down, burn it down. Now, when you get into some persecution because you love Jesus and your cousins come along and get on the wrong side, that's kind of hard to take, isn't it? Remember, O Lord. So they're saying, Lord, remember that. And, you know, we've said so many times, we don't really have to pray to the Lord to tell him to remember things in a way because he already knows them, you know. But anyway, this is flesh. This is not necessarily the way we're supposed to do it, I don't think. Remember, Lord, against the cousins of ours, the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, when we fell, or when we were under siege, they came alongside of Babylon, encouraging the Babylonian soldiers, saying, destroy it, to its very foundation. And then the last two verses, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Now, the prophets had also prophesied that Babylon would be destroyed. And, of course, that will happen. The Medes and the Persians will be raised up to destroy Babylon. And you can see them getting ahead of the curve here a little bit. Happy are the one who repays you. That will be the Medes and the Persians, basically. They'll repay you as you have served us. Happy the ones who take and dashes your little ones against the rock. So, this is an imprecatory psalm, as we know. They are wanting to see the Babylonians treated the way they were treated. And what they would do, they would dash the pregnant women open. They would crush people's heads. You know, you think Hamas is bad? Anyway, it's all the same, all through the ages. Atrocities in war times that you cannot believe, done by pretty much every nation. But here they say, happy is the one who takes and dashes your little one against the rock. So they're bitter. But again, the bitterness is partly fueled by the fact that they know it's their own fault they're there. So I thought we would just close. I had one little bitty statement here. I'll read it. Because I think this is my statement. You may not agree with it exactly, but if God ever uses you or uses me to correct another Christian, may we never go beyond the Lord's chastening in exhibiting the chastening directed by our own flesh. We are not smart enough. That's why God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Because we will always repay far more than we should, because we can't control ourselves. I mean, in other words, my flesh says, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back harder, right? So you will see that Assyria went way beyond what they were to do in taking Israel and correcting them, and Babylon done the same thing. They should not have committed these atrocities. They were sent in to take Judah captive and bring them out, but they weren't to dash the little people against the little babies against a stone. They weren't to be so cruel and ruthless. But it just seems like that's the way man is. If man gets it, look at the Holocaust, look at World War II, how, you know, most of the German population, you know, moral people, well-meaning people, but would get caught up in that cause and would join in with it or would be quiet, one of the two. So we need to be careful when the Lord uses us to go in and correct somebody, correct another Christian especially, that we don't go beyond what he would have us to do in chastening them. And the whole purpose is restoration, isn't it? It's to bring them back. It's not to kill them. It's not to destroy them. It's to bring them back. Father, we thank you for this little psalm, and we see all of the emotions in here, and there's some great encouragement in here for us as well. They loved Jerusalem. They really loved it when they no longer had it and when they were in captivity, and that's so typical of human nature, isn't it? We are not really that thankful for the blessings you give us, and then when they get taken away, then we really miss them. So help us to be grateful and thankful today, and we think of tomorrow as a kind of a National Father's Day, and so we're all here worshiping you. I pray, Father, that every day in our lives, hearts, minds, and soul, it would be Father's Day. Not what we get from you, but what we can maybe give back a little to you, at least thanking you and praising you. So this is my Father's world. Not yet, really, totally. I mean, it is, always has been, always will be, but yet evil is reigning so rampant, and the number of people praising you are probably less, maybe much less than the number of people cursing you or coming against you or just oblivious to you. But we want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to worship you. And we want to use these moments that you've given us again this morning, this Saturday morning, to pray as you would lead us to pray, and guide us now by your Spirit, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. So let's pray as we're led by the Spirit, and then it'll be exactly the right thing to pray for. Father, I want to pray for the world leaders. You have told us to pray for kings and those in authority and the 10 most populous nations here in the world right now, for Xi Jinping of China, Narendra Modi of India, and Joe Biden of the USA, and Joko Widodo, Indonesia, Luis is a new one, Luis Lula da Silva in Brazil, Arif Alvi, Pakistan, new one in Nigeria, Bola Tinubu, Hasina Wazed in Bangladesh, and Putin in Russia, and Lopez Obrador in Mexico, and added Netanyahu in Israel, and Schultz in Germany, and Sunak in UK. And so, Lord, there's some of these going through transition right now, and it's hard to even find which is the leader. And some countries have a president and have a prime minister and have a dictator and all kinds of titles, but not like the England. The King of England is not much in terms of a world leader. But nevertheless, Lord, we pray for the world leaders and those in authorities. And there's 200 plus nations. Each one of them has some kind of a leader. And we pray for those, Lord, for their own souls primarily, but for those who are influenced under their reign. And we know when a nation rulers are evil, the nation groans, and righteousness exalts a nation. And so, Lord, we pray for righteousness in these nations, Lord, that would honor you and exalt you. So we lift them up in Jesus' name. Well, let's close today, and we can stand for this one if you want. This is Hosanna. Save now, Hosanna forevermore. And it is the holy city. We've mentioned it three times in today's psalm. So these are these three world tenors here, which have done such a job on this song.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in all Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, before the voice of angels from heaven answered. Oh! dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang.
The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
As the shadow
we do praise you, and we do cry out, Hosanna, save now, forevermore, and we know you are and will. Help us to be lights today in a darkness that we would find ourselves in, Lord, and praising you and honoring you and demonstrating who you are in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you for each one here. We ask it in that name. Amen and amen.